This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wells Fargo, Geico, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
Well, an awful, awful first half gave way to just a pretty bad second half as the Jaguars lose it 31-14. 0-4 at home, 1-7 halfway through this season. And, boy, another disappointing day for the home fans here at Everbank Field. Cole Pepper here along with Marco Coleman. We'll get you updated on other scores from around the National Football League here in just a bit. But first, it's time for our Comcast Lightning Fast questions of the game. And we get them to you lightning quick after the game comes to an end. Here they come. Number one, let's assess Blaine Gabbert's play today a week after his first career 300-yard game. Here are the numbers. 27 of 38, 220 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 71% completion percentage, 81 on the quarterback rating. But those numbers look a whole lot better than most of the play looked like out on the field to me.
Yeah, those numbers are very deceiving. Not a productive first half, came out in the second half, got into that no huddle, was able to make some plays, but some mistakes also with the interceptions and things of that nature. One, maybe not so much his fault with the batted pass from Jennings. But a very, very poor offensive effort, and you look at the total picture as a full game.
Which lead, you talk about the interceptions, leads me to our second question, which is about Justin Blackmon's development. He had a play on the sideline again, second straight week. He didn't get the toe down. Didn't look like he gave much of an effort to knock that first interception down on a ball that wasn't a very good pass, but he didn't make much of an effort on it.
Well, his development, it seems like it's at a halt right now. And when I was learned a long time ago, you either get better or you're getting worse. Finally got a touchdown after 8 weeks, being a top pick. That's very surprising. He's got to work on getting those feet in bounds. Really routine type of deal, especially the one today.
And number three, what's the problem at home? Jaguars have started 0-4 at home this year.
I have no idea. I think the biggest deal is they're going to have to change the attitude, maintain that us-against-the-world type of attitude even when you're playing at home. No problem when you go away, when everybody's screaming, we hate you, we hate you. Maybe that's something they might need, which they may get if they don't do something real fast.
All right, those are our Comcast Lightning Fast questions of the game. This portion of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show brought to you by the Insurance Office of America, transforming the insurance industry to serve you better. Let's get you updated on scores from around the National Football League. Our game, the first to come to a close today, first to go final. Others are getting close. It's been kind of a muck-it-up affair in Cleveland. Baltimore a 22-15 lead. Joe Flacco just found Torrey Smith on the 19-yard touchdown pass, then found Anquan Boldin on a 2-point try. 5 Phil Dawson field goals, the only thing going for Cleveland offensively. Neither team has gotten to 300 yards offensively so far today. It's been a low-scoring affair, a 22-15 game with 2:53 remaining in the ball game. Baltimore with the lead and the ball, but facing fourth down on the Cleveland 25-yard line. They have a decision to be made in that one. Denver has come back to take a 31-20 lead over Cincinnati. Peyton Manning getting hot in the fourth quarter. Touchdown passes to Joel Dreesen and then Eric Decker. Second time Decker's got a touchdown pass today from Peyton Manning. 31-20, and you look at the Manning's numbers today. You know, any thought that his arm, shoulder, neck is not what it used to be? 291 yards, 3 touchdowns today. Did throw a couple of interceptions thus far. Game is still ongoing with 2:59 remaining in the fourth quarter. And Cincinnati trying to overcome this 11-point deficit. They're going to have to get a touchdown and get the ball back in a hurry to make it happen. Green Bay, a 31-17 lead on Arizona. Aaron Rodgers has thrown 4 touchdown passes today. He has now thrown 13 touchdown passes in his last 15 in his last 4 ball games. Wow. So he's really rolling right now, Aaron Rodgers is. Houston leads Buffalo 21-9. Matt Schaub with 2 touchdown passes, including one to Owen Daniels in that ball game. 2 minutes remaining before Houston closes that one out and continues to lead the AFC. Miami and Indy. This has been a back-and-forth affair with a couple of rookie quarterbacks at the helm. Andrew Luck has thrown for a rookie record 433 yards in this ballgame, breaking Cam Newton's mark. Wow. But 23-20, Indy leading Miami at this point. It's just a 3-point game. So a lot of points, or not a lot of yardage, though, to go with that. And 23-20, again, Miami trails at Indianapolis, 5:40 to play in the ballgame. Chicago, what a game for Chicago today. Brandon Marshall, 3 touchdown catches. The Chicago defense blocked up, or special teams blocked a punt and scored. Brian Urlacher, an interception return. They set up a couple more touchdowns with their defense. And despite only outgaining Tennessee by about 30 yards right now, they are leading 51-20 despite a Chris Johnson 80-yard touchdown run as he just broke one off just moments ago. In the fourth quarter in Nashville, it's 51-20, 8:37 to play in the ball game. And Carolina looks like they're going to go on to the victory with 3:19 to play. Cam Newton, the one-yard touchdown run, has stretched the lead to 21-6 over Washington. So last year's number one pick against this year's number two pick, Newton has got the best of RG3 in that ball game. Still to come today, Tampa Bay will take on Oakland. That's a game that's going to kick off in about 7 or 8 minutes from now out in the West Coast, a battle of two different bays there. Minnesota and Seattle play in the American Northwest. And then a 4:25 kick between Pittsburgh and the Giants. Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning from that quarterback class of 2004. And side note on that ball game, Pittsburgh actually delayed traveling. Didn't travel yesterday. Traveled this morning to New York, trying to stay out of the way of everything after the Superstorm Sandy up there. And they traveled in today. We'll see how that impacts the ball game. Tonight, Dallas and Atlanta, as the Falcons try to remain unbeaten. And then tomorrow night, Philadelphia takes on New Orleans in a battle of a couple of teams that have traditionally been very good of late, struggling quite a bit this year, however. Jaguars Rewards Program is now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program, but it's now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com and click on the Jaguars Rewards logo to start earning your rewards today. All right, coming up, we'll get the very latest from the locker room. Also, here on the Winn-Dixie postgame show, we'll take a look back at all the big plays and the big moments. Certainly, now that we're halfway through, the first half of the season is complete, we can start looking at, you know, marking some milestones, some development, some progress, and what's happening. First and foremost, 1-7, that's not good.
Not at all. I mean, you know, and at this point, you wanted to see some progression. Really, we're hoping for it in during the course of this game. Not a lot of progress today, that's for sure.
So, the other thing, again, mentioning a lot of the fans leaving early from the game today, you know, disappointed, clearly. Last week, I mentioned that, yeah, you can be disappointed by the performance, but it'd be hard to be disgusted by, you know, how the Jaguars played in Lambeau. The real expectation was, hey, all right, they played better, they just hadn't. And then where did it go? I mean, it's remarkable that when you come home, that the momentum that you developed, you know, just withers away like a, you know, like a sapling under a heat lamp.
You gotta be more excited when you come home, and that's very disappointing when you have the fans that come out despite your record to support what's going on, and you don't give them the type of performance at least to for them to accept the work that you're putting in. You know, I think a big deal too that probably would have helped is having, you know, Daryl Smith in, Rasheem Mathis was out, Lowry. I mean, because defensively, this was terrible. These guys got pushed around. You know, I love defense, and this was terrible.
I got to be honest with you, Marco. I thought the bigger issue, in the, I mean, this game was all but over after the, you know, the interception at the start of the third quarter. I mean, that was, despite the fact that the Jaguars got a couple of touchdowns, you know, got a couple of drives that resulted in touchdowns at the end. Mm-hmm. That was pretty much it. And I really thought that the biggest issue was the offense, not the, you know, not that the defense was particularly good today, but the offense going three and out, not keeping anything going, not keeping the you know, giving the defense a chance to rest at all. The defense mm-hmm. was out there for a lot of plays in that first half, and you know, Calvin Johnson, no hint of a knee injury there, and this inconsistent Lions team. They've been inconsistent this year, but we know they have the offensive weapons to throw the football around. And they certainly did today. I don't think anybody, though, expected for them to run the ball as well as they did because they have just not been much of a running
team. That's because they molded the defensive line. Today, the defensive line stunk up the field, just to put it quite bluntly. I mean, as a former defensive lineman, that was the poorest play I've seen. I've seen for a Jaguar defense. You know, I've watched – that's one of the things you can say about the Jaguars and the identity that it had – built, you know, when Coughlin was here all the way through, was a stout, hard-hitting team, and especially defensively. They were going to come and hit you in the mouth. And today, I mean, pretty much every play, it was maybe one negative play, I believe, that the defensive line or the front seven actually caused. The rest of the time, Detroit was able to establish a new line of scrimmage on each and every running play, which is, you know, very disheartening, you know, with the like I said, with what was going on. I'm really at a loss of words with the way these guys, they just got beat up.
Well, you better save up some words because we got plenty of postgame
got
to come.
Beat up.
For now, let's get words from the head coach, Mike Mularkey. We go to the locker room now. Jeff Loggeman standing by with the coach's report brought to you by Bubba Burgers. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Cole. And Mike, obviously the game didn't go the way you wanted to. Certainly didn't start the way you wanted to. In the first four possessions, you only had 15 offensive plays.
Well, if you don't convert third downs and you know, on your first one, that just kills you. And, you know, they were moving the ball. I was hoping to get our defense off the field. They were on the field way too much that first half, and we could not, for some reason or another, convert a third down. And just three and outs are really they mentally and emotionally can affect your team. I mean, so I like that we responded and it came back in the second half and picked it up, and we were better in the second half. But you can't start games that way.
Surprising. I mean, a week ago against Green Bay, you guys were able to have what was a game that you'd point to and say, hey, there's progress, they're getting better, and then the next week at home, it wasn't there.
No, it wasn't. That's obviously disappointing for us. I know it's disappointing for the fans. They saw the same thing we did last week, and I think, you know, we had an energy about us about coming off that game and making progress, and to start like that, again, you're talking about three plays, three third downs that makes everything that we did last week go away real fast in people's minds. And I do like this about our guys. Again, I always try to find the positives that go on. There's some things that on offense, they didn't stay that way an entire game, which if you are incapable of moving the ball, that's very feasible that could happen. But these guys came out and moved the ball and put us in position to score. And, you know, we did the same thing with the turnovers and the drop balls down there and turned the ball over. Just those are the things that have haunted us for eight games, and we got to get them fixed.
Defensively, last week against the Green Bay Packers, kind of made him go the long route. This week, Calvin Johnson was able to take some chunks. Certainly a stiff challenge because he is a great player.
He's one of the best. He's top receivers in the NFL. And I thought, you know, I think Mel had a great plan against him. He made some great plays. Stafford made some great throws. I mean, they're great players. Those are guys that we said going in, we have to try to somehow shut these guys down because they can be difference makers in a game, and they turned out to be that way.
Short week coming up against the Indianapolis Colts. How do you get this turned around on the winning side?
Well, I think we have some leaders in this locker room that – I've already seen them. They're already talking to these guys coming in. You know, I've already met with the team after the game, talked about it, how it's a short week, how we have to respond as a team. And I think, you know, when they come in here tomorrow, we'll be right back on the Colts tomorrow. I think they'll be ready to go.
Any injuries report? I didn't see any, but any that you saw that I didn't?
Nothing serious to report, no.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Okay.
All right, that's head coach Mike Mularkey with Jeff Loggeman. The Bubba Burgers coaches report up first in the Winn-Dixie postgame show, talking about the Jaguars 31-14 loss. They fall to 1-7 today at Everbank Field. We'll take a break and come back with a look at the numbers and more from the locker room after this on Jaguars Radio. And welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Jaguars fall 31-14 to the Lions today. We go back to the locker room where Jeff Loggeman is standing by with Cecil Shorts, who finished with three catches for 56 yards.
All right, thank you, Brian. Cecil, got to be frustrating to have, you know, a week like you had in Green Bay and then to come back home at home and not have production offensively, particularly early in that ballgame.
Yeah, you know, it's frustrating to not have production, but it's more frustrating to lose. That's the biggest thing. We got to find a way to win on third down, execute on third down, start getting early three and outs, and get this offense rolling early. We got it rolling late, and then you get it rolling early. And, you know, hopefully we can figure out and get this going for Thursday.
Yeah, you are on a short week. And what's the mood in the locker room after a game like that where you just get down 21-0 early on in that ball game?
You know, right now we're just worried about sticking together. You know, everybody's going to talk. Everybody's going to have things to say. You know, everybody's going to have their opinion on what's going on. We got to sit together and execute. Like you said, it's a short week. So we need to come together and put this thing together. And we're on national TV Thursday night. So we need to have a good showing. We need to show what we're capable of doing.
All right. Thank you, Cecil.
Thank you.
Well, you can pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations and learn how you can win a mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. There is no purchase necessary. Time now for a final stats check brought to you by Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. 31-14, the final score. The Jaguars, 279 yards of offense, 215 from the passing game, only 64 on the ground. That's five straight games now for the Jaguars with lower than 70 yards rushing. That has really turned things around. The passing game, 220 yards from Blaine Gabbert. And one of his top receivers was Mercedes Lewis. Four catches, 41 yards. He's with Jeff Loggeman right now.
All right, thank you, Brian. Mercedes, how do you get this offense back to playing like it did last week and back to playing winning football?
I think one of the biggest things in this league is consistency. You know, and I know throughout the year we've showed flashes where we can really do some good things on offense, and then we come out here and have days like this where, you know, it doesn't look like our timing is on, or, you know, we're just not clicking. And, I mean, you know, all we do is – all we can control is how we prepare, you know what I mean? And that's something I've preached at the beginning of the year. We can't control whether we win or lose. We control whether we prepare and we live with the results. I think, you know, we prepare hard. We prepare, you know, like we want to go into a game and win a ball game. And, you know, that's all we can control. So we got to keep doing that.
Frustrating that you just can't get it going at home. I mean, it's four tough home losses.
Without a doubt, I think. You know, at home, we want to give these people something to, you know, something to be excited about, something to look forward to and keep coming back. And obviously when you have games like this, it's tough, you know, not only on the fans but on us too, you know, because we're out there putting our bodies on the line and not handling our business. And, you know, it's frustrating for me, and I think I speak for the rest of the team.
What do you do as a leader going forward?
Keep preaching the same things, and that's giving all you got and leaving it all out there and living with the results. I mean, we can't do nothing more than, you know, what's asked of us, and we have to continue to focus just on the details of our jobs and making the plays we're afforded to make.
Thank you, Mercedes.
You got it.
Well, you can sip more and pay less. Any size premium roast coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea is now just a dollar at McDonald's. Any day, any size, any time, McDonald's. I'm loving it. 31-14, the final score here. Go back to the numbers again. Blaine Gabbert, 27 of 38 for 220 yards. Two touchdowns, two interceptions. His passer rating, 81.0. His leading receiver, Cecil Shorts, three catches for 56 yards. Mercedes Lewis, 4 for 41. LaRon Robinson, 6 for 41. Michael Spurlock, 5 for 35 and a touchdown. Justin Blackmon, 5 for 32 in his first NFL touchdown. Jalen Parmalee, 1 for 8. Rashad Jennings, 3 for 7. We got to caution now on the numbers because the numbers seem very, very similar and not like a 31-14 ball game. At the half, the Jaguars had 57 yards of offense, and in the second half, the Lions played much different. That allowed the Jaguars to come back into this thing. You know, there were some plays. You look at Justin Blackmon with 5 for 32, you know, but the play that stands out in my mind is the interception in which he didn't fight through it and break it up and help his quarterback. That the numbers can be deceptive. Matt Stafford, 22 of 33, 285 yards, a 93.6 passer rating. Jaguars gave up 149 yards on the ground today. Michael LeSure had three rushing touchdowns. Joique Bell had one. And, of course, Calvin Johnson, seven catches, 129 yards on the day. Those are the numbers. We go back to the locker room where Terrence Knighton is with Jeff Loggeman.
All right, Terrence, early in that ball game, looking at some of the stats now, your offense didn't help you a lot out because they had three and outs three consecutive times to start the ball game. But looking at Detroit, they had a drive of 63, 91, 53, and 81 to start the ball game. That's not how you win, is it?
Not at all. And we got to find a better way to get off the field on third down. You know, that starts with second down. We got him in second and long. We got to keep him there. And, you know, give our DBs a chance. When it's third and two, third and three, you know, it's hard for them. You know, they got a big target out there, receiver. You know, small, quick guys in the slot. And I don't think at any point in the front, you know, we did enough to, you know, make Stafford feel uncomfortable back there. And pumped a few balls a few times. And, you know, we just got to find a way to, you know, be cohesive and work together. And, you know, I think as far as our, you know, being unsuccessful on third down, we got to do better on first and second.
Going forward, leadership is usually what institutes change. who's going to take control and say, hey, you know, we got to change this, guys? I mean, is there guys in the locker room that can do that?
Yeah, absolutely. We got a few guys in each room. You know, me and Menace will take on this for the front. You know, Puds will take on this for the linebackers. And, you know, you got multiple guys in the secondary. So, you know, we'll come in tomorrow. You know, we'll get together, you know, players only and figure this out. And, you know, it's you know, we're probably way out of the picture for the playoffs anyway, but we got to, you know, attack this thing like we're 8-0 and, you know, come out Thursday, which is a quick turnaround, and, you know, stop a team that's playing real good right now, playing real hot, you know, and, you know, beat a team we already beat.
All right, thank you, Terrence.
Yep. Well, if you're tired of defending what you pay for car insurance, call GEICO. You won't have to. Go to GEICO.com, or, of course, you can call them 800-947-AUTO for your free rate quote. See how much you could save. Jeff Loggeman in the locker room talking to the players. You can hear the reaction is muted. They're disappointed. I know myself personally that we talked last week. Jeff is with us now, and I know we talked last week, Jeff, and I thought that this was a game, the Packers game last week, that was a breakthrough game for Blaine Gabbert. You know, a glass ceiling sort of game where you get something started, and today three straight three and outs to begin the ball game, and it was clear that maybe last week wasn't a breakout game.
Well, I mean, you can't discount it, but clearly early on in that ball game, the offense was ineffective, and you got to be able to put drives together against a team that can score points like Detroit. You know, later in the ball game, you know, Blaine still makes the throws that make you go, that was nice. You know, but the consistency has got to be there, and you know, history shows that young players aren't consistent, and that's the hardest thing that they strive for. And he's going through the growing pains, unfortunately. And there was a lot of plays early in that game that you didn't like, and you didn't like some of the plays that were there at the end of the half where he was trying to force the ball and then start the second half out to have the two interceptions, which, you know, they weren't all his fault, but you want to see better than that.
You know, I think the frustrating thing from my perspective, and you and I have to talk about this on radio and television and, you know, at the grocery store and in Rotary clubs and things like that, is that what you think you know with this team, or what you think you thought you knew, if that makes any sense whatsoever, you know, from week to week, what you think you know doesn't hold true. Is that what you're talking about with consistency, or is there something else at work?
Well, I mean, consistency is not easy. You know, I think the more that this team grows and the quarterback grows and the wide receivers grow, particularly when you don't have a running game and a running back that's probably one of the best in the league, it's hard to find that consistency. It's a lot of pressure to put on one aspect of the game that's been so deficient for a number of years. You know, so you're going to have that. You know, hopefully that it continues to grow. And it feels like the stock market, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, up, way down, way up, way down. And we haven't had enough ups, but hopefully there's a steady climb to where you can take, you know, a large sampling and draw a consistent rising line. But after a game like today, you just don't get that feeling.
Yeah, halfway through the season, 1-7 leaves you scratching your head, and it leaves a lot of the fans who were either watching, listening, or here in the stands today, you know, just with a sick feeling in their stomach. But eight games remain, and plenty of opportunities for them to try to get some things turned around here. And I think it was Terrence Knighton that just said it, you know, the playoffs. And trust me, no one here is thinking playoffs at this point. So as you look at the final eight games that remain, there is a chance to establish some consistency, correct?
Absolutely. You know, there's always a chance to establish something. I mean, that's a lot of football left to be played. And playing at home this Thursday night against the Indianapolis Colts, you know, it's national television. It's another home game opportunity. And if you can't get excited about a Thursday night national TV game in which you're playing a team that you already beat, that's playing a young quarterback as well, I'd be shocked if they're not ready to play and playing well.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much for your work in the booth and the locker room today.
Okay, Brian.
All right. Folks, you could be driving a brand-new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. Time for a Bud play of the game. And to be honest with you, you know, midway through the fourth quarter, we were wondering if there would be one, because the Jaguars' offense, defense, there just hadn't been anything that stood out. They got the touchdown to Michael Spurlock that got him on the board. And then late in the ball game, Blaine Gabbert found Justin Blackmon for his first NFL touchdown. Gabbert steps back into the shotgun with Parmalee and takes the waist-high delivery. Plants, turns, throws. He's got Justin Blackmon. Touchdown, Jacksonville. And that's our bunt play of the game brought to you by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And it was good to see Gabbert connect with Blackmon in the end zone. Obviously a long, long way to go for the Jaguars passing attack based on what we saw here today. which is much different than last week, where I thought they had closed that gap slightly. So obviously the Jaguars have to get things moving in the right direction, and they start that the second half of the season Thursday night against the Indianapolis Colts. And we hope you'll join us at the stadium, and if you're out in the far-flung areas that our network covers, we certainly hope that you'll enjoy the ball game on Thursday. We know we hope we do. Thanks so much for the folks at CopyFax, the DeFore family, Amy, Larry, Jason, for printing our game charts every week in brilliant color, crisp and clean. We certainly appreciate the only company that has ever provided business machines to the Jacksonville Jaguars. TJ Strike made the trip in from Atlantic Beach, our spotter. Scott, I can't say anything bad about you. I think that's like five straight years now. Scott was perfect today. And Joe, words cannot describe, my friend. Joe Fortunato, our executive producer. He's good at what he does, folks. Culpepper, Marco Coleman, join you with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, then the Southern Four Dealers Scoreboard Show on the other side of this commercial break. 31-14, the Jags fall to 1-7. Thanks for listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. Proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Culpepper, Marco Coleman here as the Winn-Dixie postgame show continues. And now from Jaguars Central, let's spend this first segment that we have talking about Blaine Gabbert. And I want to particularly zone in on four plays, the two interceptions and the two touchdowns. We'll start with the interceptions first. First interception came on the first drive of the second half on a throw that I thought was a bad decision for Gabbert to throw it there. I thought it was bad execution on the throw. Look, you know, I don't know if he couldn't quite follow through completely, but he put too much air under it, and then didn't get a lot of help from Blackman. And again, the number one storyline of this whole year is assessing Gabbert and seeing if he's a guy you can go forward with. If he makes a bad physical throw that you know he can make, you go, okay. Just made a bad throw. It's not an overall issue. If he makes a bad decision, it's really now about does he learn from that decision.
Well, it all started with the offensive line. The defensive line for the Detroit Lions were able to get great push, and I actually think it was right there over the rookie Brewster. You know, because of that push, Blaine had to put more air on the ball. That was and if you throw a ball up there like that in the NFL, you can pretty much count on that being intercepted. I thought it was a great play though by the defensive player. You know, by coming over, catching that ball and also holding on to it the way it went down. But at the same time, as a offensive player, as a wide receiver, when the ball's in the air and you don't have a chance to get it, you become a defender, and you got to do everything possible. There's so much that we see that that Blackman has to work on, you know, and and that's that along with touching in the toes, you know, on the sidelines. You know, this again, Blackman's got some work to do, a whole lot of work, and I'm not sure how much he's focusing on it, you know, at least from what you see on the field on game day during the week.
They're focused. I've been told that they spent a lot of time with him in practice working on that. We haven't seen enough of it translate, though. I mean, clearly.
You gotta, it has to translate on the field, or it's all for naught.
All right. The other thing, the other interception was a ball that may have been tipped at the line, certainly was in and out of the hands of Rashad Jennings, and intercepted by Jonte Green. How much do you put on Gabbert with that? If it, you know, again, looking at the replay, you could kind of see it. I don't know if it was the throw came out wobbly or if it was tipped at the line, but it wasn't a perfect spiral.
But, you know, this is the pros. You know, that's what the guys get paid for. You know, everything is not going to be a perfect throw. You got to be able to get the throw in there between tight coverage. You got to be able to catch a ball when it's thrown hard. You got to catch it when you got a defender that's draped over you. So that's the thing that you get paid to do as a professional football player is make those extraordinary plays. Routine plays, you can get anybody to do that. That's not difficult. It's that makes you the ultimate professional by being able to accomplish the more difficult, which I don't
that
think
would
it was
not a, have been a
it wasn't a difficult catch. Yeah. That's the thing. I don't think it was difficult. You know, Rashad, you know, Jenny should have caught that ball.
One of the things, and Brian was, I think, kind of alluding to it in a way there in his last segment with Jeff, and that is that week to week, different things crop up, and you think you know something about the team, and then something goes back the other way. Case in point, Rashad Jennings, been a very reliable pass catcher out of the backfield. Last week at the end of the game, he drops two balls right in his hands, and then this one today.
Yeah, but if you look at the guys on this team, you know, you other than Maurice Jones-Drew, you really don't have another guy on his team that you can say week in and out? I was had to go back and say talk about Uche and Monroe. I would say on offensive line, those guys are, I think they're pretty stout and pretty consistent. Other than that, there's no other players that you can consistently say week to week that you can count on them dominating or having the same level of play that they did after an outstanding week. Yep. There isn't one. Like I said, other than MJD, Uche, Wineri, and Eugene Monroe, and I'll take that back, Scobie, and now the young guy, Anger. I mean, other than those guys, you got to have more guys that are more consistent and that can give you a high level of play each and every week.
All right, then let's talk about the two touchdowns. And it really wasn't necessarily just the touchdown pass to Spurlock, and that was, it wasn't a lot, you know, to that. It was a 5-yard pass. But it was in an area, it's in the tight red zone, in the 5-yard area, a lot of traffic back there. And when you kind of spread things out, some of this seems to harken back a little bit to what Gabbert did in college, which was get the ball out of his hand pretty quickly, make a quick decision, and throw it. And that kind of looked like one of those type of plays. You got a lot of traffic, and you find the open guy.
It's another example of that inconsistency. You're great one play, but then, you know, you look, go into the beginning of the game, probably had those same type of opportunities, but you couldn't capitalize on them. I mean, although that was a good play, it definitely was something that was needed. It seems like it's not until the back's against the wall that you get the best effort from these guys. In the NFL, if you dig too big of a hole, you can pretty much count it.
But that's not really the way it's been this year. I mean, for the most part, they've
start
good, finish bad, rather than start bad, finish
okay. But that's
okay.
Been more so when you, you know, playing better on the road. Mm-hmm. It's more so what I'm referring to yep. is playing better on the road than they do at home, yep. You know. And that's that same thing. You got your back against everything. Everyone is against you, you know, and it's the same thing. All the odds were against them going into that second half, and all of a sudden now you get a team that's playing a lot more urgently,
yep.
You know. Detroit had a lot to lose losing this game, and the Jags had to understand that coming in. You got to match that level of play.
Detroit did not want to fall to 3-5, and that would have, for a team that was a playoff team last year and in a very tough division in the NFC North for sure. All right, Jaguars 1-7 after the 31-14 loss to the Lions today. We'll take time out, come back, talk about the defensive performance today. Jaguars lose it 31-14. More to come on the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealers. We're back after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Winn-Dixie Post Game Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Let's talk about the defense.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know we have to. A lot of, I'll use the line that Pete Banaszak used to use. Looked like a lot of guys wearing roller skates out there.
Oh, the defensive line all day. I mean, I think I saw maybe one play where they had negative yardage. You know, we got some penetration and got a negative yardage. They were able to run the ball at will, no pass rush. And like I said, the Detroit offensive line was able to establish a new offensive line of scrimmage seemingly every play. It was remarkable.
Didn't get a whole lot of pressure on Matthew Stafford either.
No, not at all. No pass rush at all. I mean, I think only the what was the
only
they got the sack but
was
I mean,
for 0 yards when he ran out of bounds on the sideline.
You know, that was an accident. I mean, he actually wasn't. He just ran because you could tell
there
Stafford
was some
he had the
there was
well, he
pressure.
Had it was more that clock in his head. You know, he understood that okay, oh, it's about that time for me to get out of here. It wasn't anyone around him.
I remember one other play where he had pressure. I think it was from Mincy. And he threw it in the feet of his tight end, who was right in front of him, kind of turning around from a block that people thought initially looked like it was a grounding call. Mm-hmm. But
that was a screen. You know, a lot of times with the screens, the you know, it gives you a little bit extra time because the offensive line are going out into the to block. So now you're unblocked. So you know,
point being, I mean, we can nitpick about whether that was a pass rush or whether they got invaded. When those are the two plays you can think of that where you got that. You know, this team's been talking a lot about four rushing as one and, you know, coordinating the rush and all these other things. It didn't happen today. And again, small picture, Jaguars got physically beaten today. Lions were more physical on the offensive line, more physical on the defensive line. Calvin Johnson was more physical than every defensive back who's ever played the game. Despite a knee injury, still out there, you know, getting 100 yards. Still baffling to me the guy's only got one touchdown this year, by the way. If he had more, maybe he wouldn't be the second best to ever come out of Georgia Tech. But that being said, when you lose like that physically, you know, Blaine Gabbert, I was seeing a quote, was saying, yeah, there are plays to be made out there. We're sick of feeling this way. Yeah, I think it's clear there are always plays to be made. But the biggest issue on this top to bottom was both lines of scrimmage. I mean, folks who if you understand football, you can watch the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to see the rest of it. You can figure out who's winning the game just by watching that line of scrimmage. And the Jaguars did not win that line of scrimmage on either side.
And you talk about it offensively, they weren't able to run the ball. I mean, the best, I think the longest run was 8 yards by Jennings.
Yep.
I mean, other than that, you know, on both sides of the ball, the Detroit Lions line won the game. And if you can do that, you know, that's always, as long as I played, if we can win the battle in the trenches, then the game is to be won by that team. And you saw today there was a dominance. It wasn't just a win.
No, it was lost.
Especially as it pertains to the Jaguars' defense and the Detroit Lions' offense. It was a complete physical domination as to in the trenches.
Yeah, it really was. All right, we'll take time out. Come back, talk about it, what the quick turnaround is going to mean for the Jaguars. Also still to come, we'll have the Sexton summary, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll also bring to you the coverage of the game and the protector of the game. Sonny's gets you ready for game day with two great deals. Looking forward to Thursday night. Game Day Wings, 40 wings for their new dry rub or sweet or mild sauce for $19.99. Or you can go with the Sonny's tailgate package. A feast for 4 to 6 people with a choice of barbecue pork, beef, chicken, or ribs, 3 sidekicks, garlic bread or cornbread, and 4 soft drinks or fresh brewed iced tea for just $39.99. Takeout only. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. We're back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Quick turnaround for the Jaguars, Marco. Good thing or a bad thing?
It's a bad thing because of the way they physically lost this game. I think if this game would have just been more about, you know, going out to the wire and being more competitive, it's going to be tough to shake this one, especially on that defensive line. I mean,
tougher to shake it when you get out muscle.
Well, I guess probably the fortunate thing is they don't have enough time to have to relive it. I don't think that it's enough time to really go back and watch the film and go back and diagnose and witness the thrashing that they took. So, you know, I guess when you look at it that way, it may not be as bad. But, it's a divisional game. They got to think that Indianapolis is going to be motivated because they probably feel that they should have won that game. So you're not going to get a team that's coming in here thinking that it's just, you know, they're going to come with all their guns a-blazing. I'm pretty sure they're going to get Indianapolis' best effort.
Well, Indy also today saw a record-setting day for Andrew Luck. He threw for 433 yards in a 23-20 victory over Miami. We saw him a couple, you know, earlier in the year, and I think we both had the same thing as, you know,
See, that's the thing, too, that, you know, it kind of – it has the Jags fans a little upset because when you look at the screen and you see RG3, you see our guy up here at Seattle, you see Luck. These are first-year guys and having a lot of success. Last year, you saw with Cam Newton. You've seen Matt Ryan come in and have a lot of success. Yeah, Flacco, these guys came in, and it's not uncommon right now. And so now – it's not like the days of old where you bring in a rookie and it's, you know, hey, we're going to give him 2 or 3 years. Now there's starting to be a little bit more of an expectation, maybe not so much from the inside of the organization with the general manager and things, but from the fans to see some more production at a lot sooner than before.
Yeah, and I think with regard to Luck, listen, I'll put him in a different category because, again, Luck, scouts and personnel people were saying, you know what, this guy's probably the best, draft pick since Peyton Manning, best quarterback prospect maybe since John Elway. So you're using this, you know, these very lofty comments about Luck coming out. Right, you put him in a little different category. It's the other guys, whether it's the Daltons or Russell Wilson. Seattle, who by the way plays great at home and not so well on the road. But that's
you'd rather have that though. Yeah, right. Exactly.
And again. Wilson's a guy who's clearly, you know, his maturity shows, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a guy who played at two different schools, played some minor league baseball. He's lived some life, mm-hmm. you know.
But what about Tannehill? I mean, I think Tannehill is a lot more closer to what we have in his example as far as with Blaine, because of his lack of, he only played, what, quarterback 2 years, yep. I believe, or one and a half years?
Yep.
And he has a lot more success. He's having a lot of success here as a rookie, I would say.
And, again, lost today to Luck. It was a bad matchup of rookie quarterbacks.
But he had a good game. I don't think he threw an interception. He's been having a really good season.
Yeah, I agree with you. And so, as I mentioned last week, I'm not here to defend or to attack Gabbert's play. I'm here to analyze it.
Right.
I'm here to assess it.
I'm with you.
And then we'll decide at the end of the year, what does it mean?
People decide.
Well, not even that. I mean, because people want to decide right now what it means. And, you can take a picture of a horse race, you know, at the midway point and not know who's going to win that race. Right? Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it all comes out. If you want to say, well, you know, 2 years, okay. If it's a two-year thing, you're three-quarters of the way through it. Mm-hmm. If he finishes strong in the last half of the season, that will impact your opinion. If he plays like he did, again, he wasn't awful today. In the first half, the offense as a whole was terrible today.
But that was the thing in the beginning. You asked me what I wanted to see from Blaine, and I was taken over as a leader. Yep. Right now, I just don't see Blaine stepping up and being the guy. You know, he's a part of the team. He's a teammate. He's a player on the team. But at that position, it's time to step up and be that guy. Lead your team. You know, like you say with Luck.
Yep.
I mean, I understand, you know, Luck came in decorated. But at the same time, once you come in and you're placed in that position, now you have to fulfill the duties of the position. Regardless of what your resume might have said, the job requires X, Y, and Z.
Agreed. Yeah. And, again, my point is we got 8 more games to go here.
Yeah.
That's going to tell the tale. You know, that's going to tell you what direction things are heading in. All right, we'll take time out when we come back. The Sexton Summary, also still to come, the protector of the game, the coverage of the game, and the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right here on Jaguars Radio.
They may need you to hang around for a little.
Welcome back, Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, following the Jaguars' 31-14 loss to the Detroit Lions today. Time now for the Metro PCS Sexton Summary, the highlights and lowlights of today's game through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Detroit had the first chance to score, but their 47-yard field goal by Jason Hansen hit the right upright after the Jaguars went three plays and out for the second straight drive. Booted it down to the 9-yard line, but undaunted, a 13-play, 91-yard drive was put together by Matthew Stafford and company, including connections to Calvin Johnson for 26 yards, then 18 yards, 9 yards for a first down. Then on third and three to Ryan Broyles for 5 yards and a first down. They had it first and goal from the 7-yard line.
Stafford hands the ball to LeSure, looking back towards the middle, and he's going to get a touchdown. He went essentially untouched in the middle of the Jags defense.
Michael LeSure made it a 7-0 ball game. Jaguars once again went 3 plays and out on a sequence that was maybe symptomatic of the first half. Jennings missed a block on a first down pass play that led to a sack. Mercedes Lewis dropped one. Then Justin Blackmon bobbled one and couldn't hang on to it. So 3 plays and out, punt again. 7 plays later, Detroit found the end zone once more.
LeSure has 1 rushing touchdown already, and he's in the backfield. Can he get 2? Yes. Touchdown, Lions.
And he wasn't done. Jaguars would punt it away once again after getting their first down of the ballgame with 7 minutes left to go before halftime on a Rashad Jennings run. They couldn't get another one, and Detroit would march 10 plays and 81 yards.
Hands it off. There's LeSure starting to the middle. Now breaks a tackle. Make that 3 touchdowns for Michael LeSure.
And it was a 21-0 lead at halftime. How lopsided was the first half? The Jaguars had been outgained 285-57. And that only after getting a long hookup to Cecil Shorts toward the end of the half. Opening up the second half, the Jaguars wouldn't do much better. Eric Coleman intercepted a ball that hung up in the air for a long time. Justin Blackmon couldn't get there to make any kind of a play on it. So they took over, but the Jaguars' defense would hold, forcing a punt. Jaguars got it back again, and on a drive that was starting to show some promise into the Lions' territory, Blaine Gabbert's pass in and out of the hands of Rashad Jennings up in the air, intercepted by Jonte Green, and that led to a Jason Hansen 42-yard field goal to make it 24-0. Jaguars in the fourth quarter, though, would finally find pay dirt. An 11-play, 80-yard drive, trailing 24-0. They finally got on the board.
Gabbert takes the snap, drops to throw, looks right, fires a pass, and this one is caught for a touchdown.
Michael Spurlock.
And Michael Spurlock with his first touchdown as a Jaguar. Jags went for two, and on a pass to Rashad Jennings, made it 24-8. But Detroit would answer. Jaguars needed a stop and couldn't get it.
There's Bell starting left, coming back right, looking to go into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit.
31-8 at that point. Jaguars able to make it a little more cosmetic at the end on a play that maybe one day will be significant for Justin Blackmon.
Gabbert steps back into the shotgun with Parmalee and takes the waist-high delivery. Plants, turns, throws. He's got Justin Blackmon. Touchdown, Jacksonville. The first of his NFL career.
The first, but not one he'll celebrate too much, at least not at this point. Two-point try failed, 31-14. That's the final score, and that was the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We're back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Winn-Dixie Postgame Show from Jaguars Central. Cole Pfeffer, Marco Coleman here. Time now to name the protector of the game. It's brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. Who do you have for the protector of the game?
Uche Wanneri. You know,
Ndamukong Suh. Yeah.
You didn't hear his name called all game long. I didn't know. Didn't even know if he played today, did he?
Yeah, he made a couple plays. Yeah, maybe.
It's pretty quiet, though, and I would have to give that credit to Uche. He did a good job today on him.
All right, time now to name the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, depend on us for life.
Well, the coverage is going to actually have to go to a jacket they used to cover up all-world producer Joe Fortunato.
Oh.
He wore this fly leather. I want to call it like a maroonish type deal.
What color was that, Joe?
It was red.
It was red?
Red?
Well, we're going to go candy apple red then.
Huh? Garnet.
Garnet. Garnet was a color.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked really good. Kept him from the briskness of the early pregame show.
Yeah.
Hey, the garnet-colored jacket that was worn by all-world producer Joe Fortunato gets the coverage of
the game.
You know,
if Shaft was Italian, he'd have worn that jacket. Yeah, that's what you got.
A bag of chips.
All that and a bag of chips. That's what you get out of that. All right, we'll take time out, come back with the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Back on the Winn-Dixie scoreboard, the Winn-Dixie postgame show with the Southern Ford Dealer scoreboard show.
Still visions of Joe's jacket, huh?
Time now for Marco Coleman to unveil the good, the bad, and the ugly.
The ugly was a lot of ugly, man, but I did find something good. That second half, I would have to say, when they went to the no huddle, you know, the offense started it clicking. You know, 222 yards and, you know, in a very short span, putting up the two touchdowns. The one interception, you know, I think in both cases could have been avoided. Blaine, for the most part, showed at least a glimpse of some life, and I believe that was probably the best part of the whole game. Bad is a defensive line. I mean, it's a battle between bad and ugly with what took place with those guys. But what's ugly is this home field record. You figure they've been giving up, they've lost with 126-34 far scoring, average losing by 23 points a game. That's ridiculous. I mean, when you come home, you got to find some comfort. And right now, there's no comfort at home for those guys at all.
And we'll see if that turns at all on Thursday night as the Jaguars take on the Indianapolis Colts. 8:20 for kickoff of that ball game. Pre-game begins at 7 o'clock Eastern time with the Jaguars pregame here on the network. See if Andrew Luck and company can come in and get beat by the Jaguars for the second time this year. Jaguars, of course, won on the Cecil Shorts play up in Indy earlier this season. That'll do it for our network broadcast. If you're in Jacksonville, stick around. The Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is coming up next. The Jaguars, halfway through this first season of the Mike Mularkey era, are 1-7 and 0-4 at home. Things need to get better, and they need to get better in an awful hurry. Good news is, they will have to wait till next Sunday for the next game. Thursday, the Colts come to town, but there is a lot of work to be done. Jaguars were not able to take any kind of momentum out of last week's performance in Green Bay. halfway through this season of analysis and evaluation. And we'll see what the second half brings. It all starts on Thursday night as the Jaguars take on the Colts. Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is next. 800-355-NFL1, the number if you want to call. If you'd like to tweet, you can contact us on Twitter, at Cole Pepper. That'll do it on our network broadcast. The Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is coming up next in Jacksonville after the Jaguars fall to 1-7.